Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. The word temenos means sacred space in Greek. It denotes a place that is more than a mere physical location, an area of interest that is special and set apart. Our Olympian temenos is dedicated to discovering and interacting with the many phenomenal manifestations of living mythology and its local parallels in our surrounding culture. Our ongoing mission is to explore, honor, and celebrate the mythical world around us, with a special focus on non-traditional subcultures, folklore entities, fabulous beasts, haunted places, celestial chariots, otherworld encounters, magical and mystical personalities, unique establishments, and even works of strange scholarship and popular culture. And tonight, I'm very proud to be bringing you our scholars from the edge of time, Nicholas Dyack and Michelle Brittany. Greetings and welcome, O scholars. How are you?
Good evening, Hercules. Doing very well. Merry Christmas.
To you as well. You guys planning anything special for tomorrow?
Probably just staying home and relaxing. We've been having stressful weeks, so
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's just realized that we haven't had kind of a laid back day. So we're hoping for a little relaxation tomorrow. How about you?
We're staying home also. We're trying to stay in as much as possible this week. We ventured forth to do some shopping a few days ago, and it was crazy outside. So we decided not to shop, you know. So we picked up what we really needed and let the rest stay till maybe the weekend.
Now, Hercules, how has your weather been? Because you're back east.
Yes, right now it is very windy out, and the wind is howling. So that means probably we'll have felled trees or tree branches to contend with. That usually happens when we have wind this powerful. And it was raining earlier. I don't know if it's raining right now.
Mm-hmm. Did you have snow or two?
We did not have snow this weekend, but we had snow recently. I know because I was shoveling for much of the day, and I logged it down as exercise for that particular thing. How about you guys?
We did our tradition of getting Chinese food, and awesome. We had work today. So now we officially start our 3-day weekend of, you know, just kind of relaxing and getting caught up on some personal projects and stuff.
Yeah.
You guys are both very prolific and very active in your creative outpouring. So I'm sure that you have a lot of things floating in the air.
You know, we have the giant idea board. It's a whiteboard that we put all of the stuff that we're trying to accomplish on it.
Oh, awesome.
I'll be honest. I don't feel like the last couple months we've had a chance to really hack at it, but it's been a pretty good prolific year for Michelle and I. You know, if we wanted to do like a little bit of a recap, you know, we had our horror literature book that came out earlier this year, and we also resurrected our HP Lovecast podcast and been doing that twice
that
a month
awesome.
For, you know, half the pandemic. So, you know, small successes. We've had some pretty good stuff happen project-wise, I'd say.
I'd say even that alone is a major accomplishment for most people, and I know from following you on Facebook that you've done a lot more than that as well.
Yeah, we're trying. Michelle, you know, she's really into the editing of podcasting and whatnot, so we've been I guess on our end, just going from, you know, just recording through like Google Voice to getting a mic and doing editing and GarageBand and stuff. So, you know, Michelle's really showing her chops on that type of stuff. And, you know, we're also getting, a little bit of writing done. You know, earlier this year I got my essay turned in for the Twilight Zone book, which should be out next year. And
very cool.
This year the Gladiator book was supposed to come out, but it looks like it's going to be anniversary of Gladiator plus 1 year, but I'm still excited for that to come out.
That is awesome. I'm starting the year off. Something I submitted to an anthology is coming out in mid-January. It was called Alien Lives Matter. So that's bound to spark some controversy. And it was kind of like paranormal with a social conscience. So it'll be very interesting to see the reaction on that one.
On the subject of aliens, I listened to your radio interview about 3 weeks ago where you're on the talk show talking about Greek deities and aliens
yeah.
and stuff. So the upload of that. It was good to hear you on a radio show that, well, wasn't your own, you know, on someone else's show. I'm like, yeah, I know that guy. He's so cool.
Yeah, that's always fun. That was a last-minute thing, and it was at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning that we recorded it. So I had to shuffle everything around to be able to do that. But it was very good, and that kind of set the tone for what I'll be doing for a lot of 2021. I'm going to be focusing on a smaller number of things and directing my energies towards outpourings in those areas. And this way I can build on what I've been setting blocks here and there for over the past couple of years. And Michelle, I'm going to pick your brains. My wife got me editing software, so I'm going to be learning editing of the sound. So part of my mission for 2021 is to revisit not only the new shows, but years of old TV shows, old podcasts, old radio shows, old live performances, and start editing them and putting them out again.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'd be happy to help. I'll be honest, I just use GarageBand, but like you, next year I want to look at other software and kind of take the next step with regards to editing to be more professional. I think from our early efforts, like Nick was saying with HP Lovecast, just using like Google Hangouts and not doing any editing, no intro or outro music. And now we're pursuing that. We're actually selecting, you know, music appropriate.
We've got a mic.
Yeah, we've got one mic. We're going to work on getting a second one in the new year. Probably step up to using Audacity or, I don't know, maybe another software where you can do a bit more with it, clean up the sound and things like that.
Yeah.
What software did your lovely wife get you?
She got me CyberLink PowerDirector Ultra 18.
That is quite the time.
Yes.
It is quite the time.
And it has create in big letters on it. And then it says edit like the pros. So.
Well, I'm going to be curious about that because I'm not familiar with that one. So we'll be learning some editing together, I think.
That'd be great. Yes. I'd like to. Once upon a time when I had my TV show, I had people doing stuff like filming and editing and, generating original music and using music that was copyright free. And, you know, we set all that up. And I was wearing lots of hats. I was directing, producing, acting, voicing, you know, I was doing whatever needed to be done. And it grew to a point where I couldn't even, like, oversee everything. You know, there's just so many layers to it. But I haven't had that in many, many years. And now with all of this stuff democratized, you know, where it's accessible, you don't need expensive cameras, you don't need to pay for airtime, you know, and get advertising and things like that to keep things going. The tools are much more available, but then instead of recruiting people, I have to learn how to do these things by myself. So it's a change, and my learning curve is a lot steeper now that I'm in my 60s.
Yeah, I hear you. I feel the same kind of excitement, but also a little bit of anxiousness about being able to do some projects that I'd like to do. I'm being kind of having the stumbling blocks of not knowing how to do everything that I need to do, because it really is kind of, we're in this age where people are able to, you know, edit from their iPhones now and upload, you know, professional looking videos to YouTube and you know, whatever else. So yeah, there's definitely, it's more accessible, but there's also seems to be like a higher level of quality now as a result of it, with all of the freeware that's out there to use.
Yes. Yes, indeed. There's so much, and where do you even start?
Yeah. Yeah, I know that there's, I'm excited for you in the new year and your direction that you're going. And of course, congratulations on the anthology that you're going to be part of early next year. Nick has definitely been the more prolific one. I was supposed to be in the Twilight Zone book, but I hit a huge stumbling block called writer's block. And I have not been able to really get past it. I've been able to work on our podcast and develop, between Nick and I, we work on the script. But beyond that, it's been very difficult to sit down and write and think coherently about what I'm trying to say. And it's been a bit of a struggle. I'll get partway through something and then I'll get stuck and I just can't get past it. I'm hoping, and you know, I'm sure some of it is everything that's going on right now, but
yeah,
I do hope that in the new year I'll be able to kind of get past that. And maybe it's just getting into, you know, more projects that I'm interested in trying to develop. So I'm sorry?
I have a project I'd like to involve you guys in if you're interested. I learn how to do editing, visual editing, I have a project in mind. And so far, Brian from Brian's Drive-In Theater is involved, and Ron Carson from Ron Carson's Coliseum is involved, and I'd love to involve you guys too. I would love to, I'm doing like a thing for charity, but it involves like retro science fiction and mythology.
Okay.
So it's gonna use public domain type of imagery. And it's going to be these ongoing adventures that are going to benefit like specific places. So we're going to be doing one for like film archives. That's important to Brian. We're going to be doing something for the Crestville Public Library because I'm doing stuff like over there. So we're going to pick like different charities and then do these creative projects. So how would you guys like to be somewhere on your own planet? And we'll visit you, and as scholars from the edge of time, you can like solve a problem or give wise counsel or do something. Would that be something you'd be interested in doing?
I would definitely be interested in something like that, particularly for charity. I would love to do something, for animals.
Awesome.
I would very much like to do something like that. And help raise awareness, for our furry companions. I would like to do that.
I can offer something. I've been starting, and it's been going on for like half a year now, the Arcadia Project. And before the pandemic, I was participating in demonstrations and doing things like that, against deer hunting and other like such issues. But we created a podcast where animal rights organizations have been coming on and talking about different projects. And then I expanded it to include our nature center here. and a greenway project that's going to take old railroad areas and turn them into parkland. So I've been gathering people together. So if you have animal causes that you'd like to draw attention to, I would love to schedule you an interview about them, and you could start doing that like very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I can think of one right now. We've been friends with the owner and curator of Forgotten Animals of Los Angeles. It's all cats, and it is a wonderful woman who opened her heart and takes in a lot of cats. Some of them stay with her. They're not ones that are kitties that can be adopted out because they're too old or they're shy or, whatever. And yeah. So definitely that's one that I would be of interest. And I know there are several others. I have a special, thing about cats, obviously, with having a couple of cats of our own. but there are definitely lots of charities out there that can always use some help. And I would like that.
Awesome. So I will let you know when I record that segment. And whenever you're available, we'll record something on that topic. And then we'll put these animal causes in with the charities that we'll do these shows about. And that'll give you time to create maybe you live on a planet of cats or something, that's sacred to Bast or, I don't know, something, just some thing so we can keep returning to the topic and monitor what's going on with the cats.
Yeah, definitely. I would like that. I'm cute immediately because of our H.P. Lovecraft interest. I think of the cats of Ulthar and that they travel to the moon in the middle of the night to go drink milk from the craters and things like that. And so I think that would be a lot of fun.
And that'd be great. And Ulthar is in the public domain, so your planet can be very Lovecraftian, and it might even be in a dreamland with Ulthar. And Nicholas wrote a story about the cats of Ulthar, so we can introduce that into the mix as well.
Oh, definitely. He took inspiration from our kitty that we used to have named Ashes, who unfortunately passed away. He had cancer a couple of years ago, so he's not with us any longer, but his spirit in that story is very much captured. And so, it would be a lot of fun to bring that story in, too.
Awesome. So, really cool. We'll get the creative stuff flowing very quickly on that. And, Nicholas, what do you think of the idea?
I'm sorry, Hercules. What was that? I was listening, but at the same time, our cat walked by and I started petting him.
Easily distracted at this end.
I have cats also. What do you think of the idea? Can you think of any spin to put on it or anything you'd like to focus on?
Not off the top of my head. I'm all for supporting Michelle. I mean, she brought up the Forgotten Animals of LA, and we met the lady behind that, many years ago. We saw the story. She took in a cat named Eli that had acid dumped on his face, and he was all scarred, mangled. And I felt my heart just broke so bad. And I really wanted to meet this cat, and we did. And he has kind of a Yoda face at the time because, that's what happens when he had acid dumped on him. But he's the sweetest cat in the universe, and he was my buddy. And we used to go over there maybe once every other month or something to see this cat Eli and all the other cats there. And it was a good experience. So that's really.
What Nick is getting around to is that he's into animal charities as well. So I know he would support definitely, Forgotten Animals of LA, and I'm sure sure others that we come across too. So.
Okay. Awesome. Fantastic. And I'm looking forward to that. That'll be a great new adventure for 2021.
Yeah, definitely. I know one of the other things that I'm interested in beyond, we're going to continue to work on HP Livecast in the new year. We're still keeping to, our two episodes a month, but I'm also, we're kind of like looking at other projects that we can do either together or on our own. And one of the things that we've talked about, because I'm really into UrbanX, is looking at places where I can talk about the history of a place, not necessarily like dead malls and things like that, although those are kind of fun, but more of like historical forgotten cities or, you know, buildings or old historical landmarks and ghost towns and things like that that are out here. There's lots to talk about. And so that's another reason why I want to get back, get into more editing. I used to do edit videos. So I have Final Cut Pro on my Apple, and hoping to get back into that and maybe try to do, you know, some voiceover work and tell stories about these places that have been forgotten. So I think that'll be something I'll also pursue, and that'll be a way of like getting those creative juices going again as well.
Oh, awesome. That sounds fantastic, and it's very close to what I'm planning also for the year beyond that particular project. I've been published in a lot of anthologies that deal with the paranormal, and mm-hmm. I've actually spent a great deal of my life investigating, you know, such matters. And I don't really need to think as I'm writing. So it's just, I tell the stories or, as I remember them, or I contact people and, you know, just refresh my memory a little bit and then, write. But it doesn't come with a lot of difficulty, and I enjoy writing it. So, mm-hmm. I was thinking of taking all these stories I've heard throughout my life. And fortunately I have tons of notebooks, you know, I record lots of things. So I have hundreds of notebooks, and I started going through them. And, I've also spent a large part of my life, working on my dreams. So, like when I'm really into that, I can remember like 15, 20 dreams sometimes during the course of a night. So, if you do that for a long period of time, you spend most of your day writing dreams, which interferes with other things that you have to do. But I have all these things recorded, or, you know, sometimes in great detail and sometimes in outlines. And through my studies in dreams, one of the things I liked about like Lovecraft is that there were places in dream that you go back to, like Ulfar. And in my dreams too, there seem to be over the years places that I wind up back in. And, I have these, cities that I've described or towns that I've described that are recurring in decades worth of dreams. I was thinking of doing something with that. And during the pandemic, since I'm home and I'm not gallivanting or going out and exploring things, you can dream from your house. So I thought of publishing my dream adventures. I published a couple of them in the anthologies, and people like them. So I figured I would just devote some time to that. This way I could work on my dream work, which I enjoy doing, and the time that I spend on it will be time producing writing that I can then publish. So that's one of my plans for the year, as well as all the other paranormal things. And I'm interested in what you're doing with the ghost towns and things like that. One of the historians in our town gave me the X files of our town. So I have those. I have all these weird things that happened in the town where I live. And I've spoken to historians in nearby towns, and they have like X files too. So before the pandemic, that was something that was happening, and now it's not. So I'm aiming toward resuming that when we could all go out safely as well.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting, Hercules. My historic ghost town type of idea is we've been doing some driving along the I-10 that's California and Arizona. And there are little towns that are, you know, either in decline or, you know, they hang on. And there are certain characters in these towns that have, you know, that have come to fascinate me. And one of the places is called Court Site. And there was a Persian fellow back in like the 1860s, 1870s. Who worked for the government, and he was like a messenger. He had camels. They were like trying to develop like some sort of postal service. You know, he did different services for the government, which I find rather fascinating. And given the fact of the time, you know, you're talking 1860s, the belief of, you know, that a person of color had no value, and here's this person from you know, the Middle East, basically, is out here. And, you know, to this day, that town gives, you know, they celebrate his participation in that town. I mean, there's like camel motifs all over the place. You know, he's got a very nice shrine in their local cemetery. And that's just one story, you know, of an individual that, you know, you wouldn't run into unless you happen to be traveling I-10, you know.
Right.
There's another place that we go past called Desert Center. And it's up in the kind of like the summit of the mountains between California and Arizona. And we've noticed that there are like all these old palm trees that are dead or they're green. And I was looking at the Google Maps one day, and I noticed like there was, you know, very kind of like, obviously they were not coincidence that there's these kind of patterns that are sort of there. And so Nick happened to look it up, and sure enough, there was some fellow that settled there and had this idea of creating designs through the use of palm trees. And he imported all these palm trees to create these designs. And I'm thinking, well, it's not like you had Google Maps back then.
Right.
So it'd be easy to see that. And of course, you know, you think about the South American, you know, lines of the various animals in the dirt that are, you can't see, but they're huge, but you can only see them from space. I think it's like Napas or something. I think you would probably know. But, you know, just thinking of those type of things, and, you know, that character is just like, well, what motivated him to want to do that? So I'm very curious, and you know, I think that those would make kind of interesting stories to tell. So
I think so too. I'm fascinated, and I'm looking forward to learning more. So it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So it sounds like everyone has a lot of really interesting things to do in the year ahead, which is great. Some people complain of being bored. I don't know what that's like. There's so many things to do, and there's so many things I'm interested in that the life I'm living doesn't provide enough time to do them all. So I can't imagine feeling, you know, like stuck in the moment as some people do.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I've not felt bored, but I've just felt sometimes overwhelmed by I have time instead of like having to rush to go do something, you know, or go to an event, or, you know, because of course we can't do that right now.
Right.
So it's more, oh, well, what do I want to do? You know, because I have 10 things to choose from. And so it's just kind of settling in and getting focused is probably my, if that's my Achilles heel, I would say that would be it. So.
How are your explorations of Egypt coming along?
You know, that's been kind of a little bit on hold. Although with our swords and sandals and cinema, that's been actually something to help encourage me. So I'm actually thankful for that, because when my time comes, I'm like, I'm making sure I'm, you know, I go look at movies or, you know, television or books. So yeah, definitely still very much into that. Just haven't been real prolific putting stuff out there for other people to read as much as me just kind of taking and consuming in word. So that'll come.
We got a refrigerator for the basement. So we moved all these boxes where I have books. So I don't know what I did with my Egyptian like books and DVDs, but when I locate it, I'll send you a list, because I know I have a lot of duplicates. And and I located the Sword and Planet. I promised that to Nick a long time ago, and I finally found that. So, Nick, you'll be getting an email list very soon, too. See if you're interested in any of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love the Sword and Planet genre.
Yeah. Well, I know Nick has been, to segue just a little, since I don't want to take the entire hour, but Nick has been, we've been playing Borderlands, and
oh, awesome.
He was like, and he's like, oh, I'm going to take a look at this, because this character is a gladiator, a vigilant gladiator. And I had no idea. So I know that he's got some fascinating things to discuss about that.
Oh, awesome.
So over to Nick.
Yeah, this random essay idea out of nowhere. You know, I have the giant idea board of essays. You know, some are getting worked on, some are not.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's a video series that Michelle and I play called Borderlands. Yeah, it's basically Mad Max on other planets. You know, it's a first-person shooter. You go around and, you know, kill people, like you do.
Uh-huh.
But we're playing Borderlands, the pre-sequel. And this is these are comedic games, by the way. But
right.
No, my character, I was looking at her. You know, this isn't a Sword and Planet genre. The character I'm playing as, I didn't realize, and, you know, clunked me on the head. I just wasn't paying attention. Is a total neo-peplum character. And this isn't a character that – it's not like an RPG where you make your own character. You know, this is one of the, you know, set story. You know, you play as one of four characters.
Mm-hmm.
But no, her name's Athena. She's described as a gladiator. And she totally has all these peplum elements. So, like, example, her attack, she uses an item called an aspis, which is, you know, an old, you know, shield from antiquity time. And,
uh-huh.
And she throws it the glaive in Cole, that classic Sword and Planet film. And she has a whole bunch of magic powers that have, you know, peplum names or imagery to them. Invictus, there's a spell called Hold the Line, which the icon for it is a Spartan soldier. There's another one called Prepare for Glory, which has a Spartan / Amazon woman on it. Fury of the Arena, Zeus's Rage, Hades as Shackles. So there's all these like peplum aspects on this character. I'm like, wait a second, this potential story here, because, you know, about 3 years after this game came out is when Assassin's Creed Odyssey came out, and we had Cassandra, which is a true neo-peplum character.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a friend, his name's Dr. Ross Clare, and we're going to have to get him on your show sometime. He just did his doctorate in antiquity and in video games. And he actually wound up citing the new peplum many, many, many times in his dissertation. So, of course, as a scholar, that makes me feel warm and fuzzy. But I'm going to see if I can leverage his dissertation on antiquity and video games and, you know, maybe do a really short essay on this character from Borderlands. I don't know. But,
oh, that is awesome.
But, you know, like the intro to your show, you know, you were saying, you know, basically antiquity elements are found in kind of the strangest places. And here we are, this sci-fi first-person shooter video game, and you're playing as, well, for all purposes,
yeah,
a space glass. So, yeah,
that is
for,
awesome.
For 2020, yeah, it is cool. And plus, Michelle and I get to play it together. We always like activities we could do together.
Yeah.
For 2021, I've got some stuff lined up. I mean, I'm in the middle of my medieval book. I'll be honest, I don't know if it's actually going to take off or not. You know, the project was presented to me as X, but it really turned out to be Y. And
okay.
I don't know how I feel about that. It's just not feeling like my project, and I'm not getting a lot of submissions or anything for it. Now, granted, I still got a two-month window that I have open for people to submit abstracts to me. So, listeners out there, if you've got an essay on medieval films in the last 20 years, you know, send it my way. But, so, I don't know, 50-50 chance. Either the project will take off or I'll just shutter it and move on to the next thing. And I really, really want to return, you know, because sometimes, you know, it's okay to walk away from stuff. You know, sunk cost fallacy. I'm all victim to that sometimes, but not this time. Because before this project, I was working on my Rene Girard H.P. Lovecraft thing. And I was having a lot of fun with that, really learning a lot of stuff. I think regardless of what happens in 2021, I'm going to resume working on that, regardless of this medieval book or not, because I really need to do a me project. I like doing essays. I like doing essays for other people. I like editing books, but I have yet to realize a book that's cover to cover me, you know, that I've done. And the Rene Girard H.P. Lovecraft thing, and I know we've talked about that in prior podcasts, you know, I feel like that's my my opportunity to try to do that. So I think I'm going to really try to do that next year, regardless of this medieval book project or not.
And you voiced this before, so it's important to you, and I really hope you get to it this year.
Yeah, you know, it's the last couple months have been super stressful for Michelle and I, you know, just a lot of work stuff and other obligations going on. So we haven't been able to knock out some of these things. And, you know, I do got my cue of, you know, I owe reviews to other people for journals and whatnot. And I really want to cash that stuff in because, you know, I like helping people out and stuff. But, you know, at some point you do have to do something for you. And I keep saying yes to other things and not enough time to say yes to myself. And it's important to do that. And I realize that. So 2021, that's the year that Nick will do a Nick thing.
Good. And let us all do things that are resonant with our vision and our desires and our talents.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Michelle and I, we both have a lot of stuff to offer out there, you know, through our podcasts, our writing, and other projects.
Our conference that we do each year.
Yeah, we're pandemic be damned. We're doing our Ann Radcliffe Academic Conference again in 2021. It might be a virtual conference, but, you know, we're still sending out the acceptances for those. We have a lot of fun doing our little academic conference. It gives voice to a lot of other horror academic scholars out there who, you know, are just starting in their career or, you know, they need a proving ground to test their material on. And we've had nothing but success with that. And it's really nice at the end of the day, we walk away knowing that we did something good for our other fellow academics out there.
Hercules, go ahead. Well, and honestly, the conference is, you know, we come at it from experience of being presenters ourselves and how, you know, important it is to not only have a conference that starts on time, is respectful of each presenter, but also as an opportunity to share questions, to have you know, ideas expressed, and to be able to network. And so, you know, for Nick and I, we come at it not just as, you know, we co-host and co-run this conference, but we also really seek to be mentors to others. And it's had good fruit bear from it. You know,
you got your book.
We have a book that allows you know, several presenters to present their research in a book that, you know, may not have happened if they tried to go elsewhere. We've had several times where people have come to our conference. It's been their first one, and, you know, they've been, you know, highly impressed, you know, have felt that it is a safe space, that we are open, we're inclusive of all ideas, and, you know, backgrounds, the fact that, you know, we are there to help people. So, you know, we're anxious to have the conference happen. Right now they're hoping to still have a physical conference, but I would imagine they're probably looking at virtual as well as an option. The conference takes place with the StokerCon, and StokerCon is scheduled for early May. So I'm kind of figuring we'll probably end up being virtual, but we'll see.
I've been participating in a lot of virtual things lately. I've been a presenter, and I've been like a judge. I've been all sorts of things. And it's a new territory, and I want to learn how to do Skype and Zoom, how to run them rather than just being on them. So that's in there with the editing for 2021.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point that you bring up, Hercules, because we've been using Zoom when we do interviews for HP Lovecast, when we do our little fragments. We've been using Zoom meetings, and basically you start a Zoom meeting and you can record it.
Yes.
When you finish and you close out, it will actually save you a file, and it'll pop up on your desktop. And then you can actually you can load that into whatever your editing software is. So I've been doing that in GarageBand, and the
awesome.
Sound has been pretty good.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. That sounds awesome. I have to look up GarageBand too.
Yeah. Do you use a Mac or a PC?
A PC. We just got a new one also, because my old PC was no longer being supported by the Microsoft software that was on, and it kept reminding me every time I turned it on, and then it was getting slower and slower, and all sorts of warnings kept popping up. So we got a new computer, and so far it's working very well.
Oh, that's good. I believe that GarageBand is a Apple product, so
okay.
I'm not sure if it's also an app that you can get, but I know that that's – we did the Zoom meeting, and that worked really well, and the fact that it creates a file. And even if you, like, stop during a Zoom meeting and, like, you'll stop the recording and then start it up again – say, like, for whatever reason, somebody has to leave the room for a minute, and so you pause it or stop the recording. When you start it back up, and then when you finish, it'll actually give you two files. It'll give you the start of the one where you stopped it, and then the second one will be where you started up again. So you
oh, wow.
What you had in the first half, which was really good, because that happened in one of our interviews, and I thought, uh-oh. You know, but it actually came through with the two files. So, and Zoom is free. So, I think that, you know, that might be something for you. And you can host and have on camera as well as record and all that good stuff. So I know when I get the file for, I just use the audio file, but it also gives me a visual file too.
That is awesome. Yes, I'd like to add the visual element because I miss doing TV, even though we did like Fringe TV. There are some clips of it on YouTube that people have put up. And we gotten pretty sophisticated, you know, back then for what we were doing. Initially, we started out as a filming inside a studio with like one camera. And then we evolved to three cameras, and then we started doing like outside shows, and eventually became like a variety show. And there we had like outside editors working on bits and pieces of it, and we're communicating in code, and they were using the Final Cut Pro, like you mentioned before. So I remember it was like we have one clip that's on the YouTube about a LARP that we went to, and I remember like communicating with the editors and telling them I wanted it like Keystone Cops, and one of the editors thought it would be better like Apocalypse Now, so I told them, okay, do a little of both and let's see what works, and Keystone Cops happened to work better for that one, so we went in that direction. But it was very fun having the visual element and the music and, you know, all the work that was going into them and producing something that was, you know, impressive, even though it was low budget.
Yeah. Well, and to be creative, particularly when you are in a low budget, you know, you find workarounds. And
yeah.
Now that you have more technology, I mean, you could even do more and, you know, still be able to keep it in a budget that's reasonable.
I'm looking into animation software also, because I was thinking to add that as an element to the charity thing that we're doing. So that's something I'm exploring. I remember once upon a time when I had my Commodore 64, there was like it was animation software and you can create games. So I was creating like all sorts of games that were kind of like Nintendo quality games. And I was able to do all sorts of animations also using the same program. So I'm sure that they're much more sophisticated than that now, but I've been looking at that as well.
It's exciting. And that would definitely give you, you know, a wider appeal to audiences by having different formats and different visual interactions. So, yeah, that sounds really exciting.
And, of course, I'm going to invite both of you to play because these are fun things to do. And I'm very happy. I have you both again on Tuesday for the Sword and Sandal Cinema special closing out the year, both of you and also Brian for like 20 minutes each. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, us too. And I hope all listeners are checking out Brian's programming. It's really good, very enjoyable, and he's very knowledgeable. So
yes, he is.
It's an honor to be on, you know, part of the same show with him. So
yeah, back in the early days of computers, I stumbled across Brian's Drive-In Theater. It's been around for over two decades now, and it was one of the few things on the internet, on the peplums. And I also like horror movies and retro science fiction movies. The other stuff, the spy stuff, not as much. But I used to visit as often as possible. So when I was first putting a podcast together, I believe in the original podcast in Pennsylvania, when we lived there, Brian was one of the really early guests. And then that being on one interview became, you know, what it is now, you know, over the years. And but he's very knowledgeable. He's very funny. He's, has tons and tons and tons of stories. And I really enjoy working with him. And I'm glad he's also along for that charity thing as well.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. You know, and it really, you know, this is the opportunity to you know, be able to kind of record for posterity these stories that are dying away. The people, pass on or they're just forgotten. So, the programming that you do, Hercules, is very important, and I hope people understand that, these are things that, these are ideas of, and what define us today. So,
thank you very much. I find what you guys do very important. And I was going to say before that you've consistently done on your shows what you do at these conferences, where you give new voices a platform to start sharing what it is that they're doing. Most recently, Michael Oden, who's going to be a guest this week as well, to talk a little bit more about his mythological universe that's unfolding.
Wonderful. Yeah, we're so glad that we were able to introduce you to, and we are looking forward to next year, actually, with the Scholars from the Edge of Time. We're percolating different ideas. I think we've got a guest already set up for January that we'll reveal later, and then definitely have ideas through the rest of the year, and hoping to give a platform to other new voices that might be able to cross over into some of your other programming as well.
Oh, great. I'm looking forward to that. You have consistently been phenomenally fascinating people to speak to. And I look forward to it greatly. And you both have a talent for finding other really fascinating people to speak to.
Well, we try, and I can't say enough how much appreciative that we are and thankful that we are to have this platform, and the fact that we're friends with you means quite a lot to us and the opportunity that you work. So we're very appreciative, and thank you so much, Hercules. I know we say it every time, but we sincerely mean it from our hearts.
Thank you. I'm very touched and honored, and I think the world of both of you as well. And I just looked up at the clock. We're nearing the end of today's conversation, and I would like people to find your podcast and all your various works. And I know that last time we spoke about this, Nick keeps his updated, and Michelle not so much lately. So where should people go to enter your universes?
Sure. So right now, I would say that going to my author page at Amazon is the best place to see the books that I've been involved with, either editing or writing chapters for. With regards to our other podcasts, it's HP Lovecast, and HP Lovecast Presents Fragments. We have a Facebook page. We've got a Twitter account. We've got Instagram. We post on the first and third Sundays of each month, and you can stream them on all your streaming places. And Nick, how about for you?
Yeah, the HP Lovecast podcast. It's hosted on Buzzsprout, but it's on Amazon podcast, Spotify, Podbean, whatever. I mean, if you've got a podcast app, just look for it. It's totally there. But yeah, we do two episodes a month, and we update Twitter pretty frequently and the Facebook page for it pretty frequently as well. I'm at nickdiak.com. That's pretty updated. I do a news roundup once a week where I talk about my activities, but I also go out and look at Peplum news, like what's going on in video, comics, in film. And, I just do some quick roundup of links of, hey, this Peplum film's coming out. Hey, here's a DVD release of an old Peplum film. Or, hey, unfortunately, this Peplum person passed away. So I do a little small roundup of news that catches my eye, while at the same time talking about, what current projects I'm working on or what I've done or our podcast stuff, like, appearing on your show would be rounded up at my website as well. But that's at nickdiak.com. And from there, it's a whole bunch of links to, all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and all that stuff. And I try to, right now, I'm averaging maybe once a month getting an original article there.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those decisions. Do I write for my website or do I write for another place? And right now it's, well, I guess for my website. So I've got some original articles there as a nice little venue for me to get some, you know, small, low-scale projects out there too. But, yeah, I'm a pretty gregarious dude. Easy to find.
That is very fortunate, and I will link more often to your page on the Peplum News in the Peplum groups. The Peplum group's been taking off recently. I had like 36 new people in the past week join it. So I'll put a link there. I'll visit once a week, and I'll put a link to your Peplum stuff.
You know what I found is. It seems like Peplum stuff is kind of gaining a little bit of popularity. Like on Twitter, I can't find a single other person in a Peplum stuff. But what's exploded lately is classical studies people. All of a sudden, all these people are crossing my path. So not necessarily Peplum per se, but people that study, you know, the classics. So like I just befriended a guy who got his doctorate in heavy metal and antiquity. And I'm like,
awesome.
Yes. So, you know, finding people that way through classical studies. And so it's kind of interesting. I'm still trying to do my best to promote the Peplum genre and specifically the new Peplum stuff out there.
Right.
You know, I always try to take that transmedia approach. It's not just films. It's games and comics and books and the like.
And we've been covering more of that on the show as well. We have a Mythic Gaming where once a month we talk about, among other things, we talk about Mythic RPGs or video games. And we have, of course, comic books and things like that. So I've been slowly starting to integrate more and more of the things beyond the cinema as well. And we have like a minute and a half more until they start interrupting us and telling us to get off. Thank you again so very much. I enjoyed myself a great deal. Happy holidays. And I'm looking forward to Tuesday.
Looking forward to Tuesday. We wish you a great Yuletide, sir.
Thank you very much, sir and ma'am. And thanks to everybody who's joined us from home, whether you listen to us live or later on, you're going to be visiting on demand. Until next time, this is all of us wishing all of you joyous journeys, amazing adventures, and a very healthy and happy new year. We're going to close with Ginger Ackley's If You Can Dream, as we often do.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake, dream till you feel, dream till you know it, dream till it's real. If you can dream, then you can be bound by love and yet be free, but only if you can dream. When love and trust are deep and fair, There is nothing your heart won't dare, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream.